Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for your blessing. We're praying, Lord, that you will be gracious unto us and bless and help us this morning. We ask, Lord, that you will anoint the preaching and teaching of your word in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. Amen. And we thank God for this morning. Hola is going to share a poem with us this morning.
I just want to make a shout out to LP Sarah. Because she asked me to come and... I told her I write poems, so she said I should come and share my poems. Wow. Amen. Amen. And happy birthday. Wow. All right. So the title of my poem is The Focus, and it's really just about how I think sometimes we struggle to focus on God. And we struggle to pay attention to things, even when we're in class, when we're in school, we struggle to pay attention to teachers. And we bring the same attitude to the church. Amen. How many of us used to do that? What a shock. All right, so I pray they will bless somebody. Amen. All right. The focus. I'll confess. I lose focus at times when I pray. God help me. I can pray so idly, just flowing in the presence, with my mind roaming, and being everywhere but on the prayer I am praying. But when I concentrate my entire mind, soul, body, and heart on this great one, the most holy one, this holy God, and I'm a bit more focused, everything is changing. Everything is different now. When you focused your heart, it's like you focused light. Suddenly it's burning. Suddenly it's burning the paper because it's so focused. And that's how it is when you're focused. You're focused on God. He starts to burn. He starts to burn inside of you. God is a great, 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 great light. And our souls are in deep, deep, deep darkness. And that's why Paul, he was walking the road to Damascus. And he saw a bright shining light. And after that, his eyes, they stayed blind. Because after he comes into our lives, there's so much that we don't see anymore. We become blind to the things of the world, name it all. They say love is blind. So I ask you, when we worship, why are your eyes still open? And where is your focus? I just want to focus. So I put away everything. I put away my dignity. I put away my feelings for everything else. I put away my thoughts about anything else. I put away my anxieties, my worries. I put away my plans. I put away my cares. I put everything away, and I just focus. Because focus is your ticket for the airplane ride to the place called worship. Focus is the fuel that makes the fire God lit in your heart when he saved you begin to burn. Focus is the engine that makes the wheels of your worship begin to turn. Please let's return and let's spend our days lost in a sea with high waves, a sea of focus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for your gift and thank you for sharing it with us. We look forward to more writings and more poems. Not everyone has a gift of writing. It's a gift, you know, to be able to express your thoughts and your feelings and ideas in print. I think it's really a gift from God. Amen. Some of us cannot even respond to a text message. So if someone writes a long poem, at least you should appreciate her for it. Amen. All right. Today I want to share with you, or continue to share with you, about humility. Amen. Amen. And I'm on chapter 13 today. Chapter 13, I am sharing on what it means to be puffed up like Belshazzar. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Bible talks about a syndrome called being puffed up. Puffed up means being bigger than you really should be. Oversized. Amen. So you are puffed up like Belshazzar, number one, when you do not respect the church nor the pastors. Sharing from Formula for Humility, chapter 13. Okay. What it means to be puffed up like Belshazzar. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Wow. That's a serious problem in the church. When you have a problem in the church that is so bad and is worse than what you can find outside the church, then you really do have a problem, isn't it? Yeah. And such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. What a shock. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. Amen. Amen. Right. So this verse is simply saying that a problem was identified in the church, and rather than being sorrowful and being remorseful about it, the people were puffed up. Hallelujah. A puffed up attitude is often one that people tend to develop when they do not want to accept sometimes the reality of a wrong they're engaged in, a sin they're involved with. You know, many times people's response to a correction is rather, you know, you have two options. Like the scripture is saying, you either will be puffed up in your response to the correction, or you can mourn or be remorseful. Can I have an amen? Those are the two responses to correction. Sometimes when people are doing wrong, they become puffed up. They develop a puffed up attitude, which then becomes a wall or a shield. They put that up just to protect themselves and to, like, it's like a wall that you put up to prevent people from accessing you in a certain way. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what I have come to see as a pastor from experience is that many times people who are rebellious and who act like they do not or are not interested in the word of God or are not interested in church and so on, sometimes people who make noise and so on when preaching is going on, many times it is actually an attitude they are putting up, you see, just to protect themselves. Because they can see that the word of God is coming through. Many times they can see the truth of the word. And rather than accept it or yield to it, they put up a defensive wall, you know, just so it doesn't come close enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many hard-looking people are really soft inside. Isn't it? They are just like a coconut. So have a really hard shell, but it's just water in the middle. You wouldn't believe that this real or really hard-looking fruit is coconut a fruit or a vegetable? It's a fruit, right? Well, this really hard-looking something has only water in the center of it. And many people are like that. Many hard-looking people, many rebellious-looking people are just coconuts. They have a shell that is hard because they need the shell to be that hard. Do you understand? They need the shell to be that hard to protect the softness that is inside, to protect what is really inside. Sometimes people are very embarrassed about their lives. They are very embarrassed about their behavior. They are very embarrassed about their history, very embarrassed about their lives as they currently are, very embarrassed about very shameful things they do in the dark, in secret places, in private, that people don't know about. That they need this kind of a shell just to keep people from coming to it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And in order to send people away, they develop that puffed up attitude. Hallelujah. And so it's important. Sometimes you need to just pause and address and assess yourself and see what is really behind this attitude you have. What is really behind your rebellion and the way you respond to the word of God. It just might be that you really don't want people to get to the real things about you. Hallelujah. Now, what are some of the signs? Number one is you're puffed up like Belshazzar when you do not respect the church nor pastors. Belshazzar drank wine from the vessels in the temple. He was having a party and praising the gods of gold and silver. Often unbelievers, you know, have fun and manifest their lusts and passions without restraint. And this is exactly what Belshazzar was doing. However, there was no need for Belshazzar to despise God at his party. But in the midst of the party, he had an idea. He did not want to drink from an ordinary glass. He wanted to drink from the church's cups and vessels. He had cups and he had glasses, but he wanted to make fun of the church and God's people. You must be for when you lose respect for the church of God and its ministers. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is a king who is having a party. And in order to show everyone publicly his contempt and lack of regard for sacred things, he decides that, look, we're having a party. Why don't you bring those special vessels they have been keeping in the church? Because they had golden vessels that were kept for special purposes in the temple, you know. And this man felt that, you know, this is an opportunity, you know, to degrade those vessels and to show everyone, you know, my contempt for these vessels, that I have no regard and I have no respect for sacred things, and I'm under no obligation to be under anyone's control or to respect any such thing, you know, and I don't, they are just glasses to me, that's what they are, and I don't really care about them, just bring them. So he sent someone to go get them. You know, so pull those things down. Just bring them. Let's drink from them. And they brought the special vessels, you know, and they started to drink from them. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. See, spiritual lines are spiritual. And when you cross them, you often don't know that you have crossed them. Wow. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to be careful. This one says you must be careful when you shout at church members and insult the church and its pastors. That very Sunday evening, canopies went up for the preparation for the funeral in the house. Belshazzar insulted the church when he used the cups and wine from the temple. That very night, the handwriting appeared on the wall and he ceased to exist. You know, and the scripture from Daniel chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink in them. You know, yeah. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, out of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. Hallelujah. Amen. So this king was totally contemptuous of holy things and sacred things. And that is a mistake that many people make. Hallelujah. Many people make the mistake of disrespecting and disregarding important spiritual things. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is speaking to us this morning that it is an act of pride. It is an act of pride to respect something you came to meet. To disrespect something you came to meet. You know, to disrespect something just because it has no meaning to you. You know, not that the thing is not meaningful, but sometimes your distance from God is what has caused you not to have any respect or even understanding for its value. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so it is your distance from God that is the problem, and not that the thing is meaningless. You know, in the church, you have so many different things. You have the church, you have the pastors, we have, you know, worship, praise, you know, and other sacred things, other things that are important things that we do in the church or that are part of the process of worshiping God. And those things must be respected. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those things must be respected. Sometimes when you meet older Christians, you see that they have a bit more respect. You know, they have a bit more respect for important things. Last night I was speaking to one of the pastors, you know, one of the pastors I chat with a lot, and he was reminding me how a long time ago, it was April Fool's Day, you know, a long time ago, it was April Fool's Day. Well, Lamech is here today, so the testimony will come on. Hallelujah. But yeah, it was April Fool's Day, and then this fellow called me and told me something. What did he say? I think he said to me that he had been to the church hall where we used to rent some space in Manhattan, just in the upper room. And he told me that on his way to work, he had stopped by at the church and found out that all our equipment were stolen. Wow. Everything was gone. You know, so I got ready to go to Manhattan, you know, and then just as I was just about to go, he called back and he says it's April Fool's Day, you know. Then he happened to have told his mother what he did to me, you know, and his mother took him on. He said, you have no respect. I mean, she said, you have no respect. You have no respect for sacred things. That is, you don't do that to a priest. He said, you do not do that to a priest. You know, you don't tell a priest to go to the church when there is no such thing happening. No one has stolen anything, and you just lie to him. You are sending him out because it's April Fool's Day. You don't do that to a priest. You know, we were just chatting last night when he reminded me. He said, do you remember what my mother did to me when I did this to you? Hallelujah. But you see, sometimes older Christians have more respect for some of these important things. This person, because he was successful, you know, he had done well as a king. He was, in fact, he had even inherited it. You know, sometimes you come into success because of the line that you are on. It's not really because you are great. Do you see what I'm saying? You drive in a car because your dad bought one, not because you bought one. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and the car maybe looks nice. It's actually the car and where you live and everything is actually a reflection of what your father is doing, not what you are doing. You haven't done anything yet. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but yet often we have a lot of pride that we develop, you know, pride that comes to us from the surroundings and the things we have access to and the things we're enjoying. And we do not recognize that actually it is someone's decisions that are blessing you that way. Even the school you attend, it's somebody's decisions. Do you see what I'm saying? It's someone who says, you go to this school. Or someone who says, I'll pay for you to be in this place. So you realize that you may begin to feel very good and begin to feel puffed up. And that kind of success can make you, you know, disregard important people or spiritual things that you shouldn't take for granted at all. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so this man was drinking. He had wives. He had concubines. Concubine is an old word for girlfriend. Do you see? Unofficial wives. So he had wives, he had concubines, and he brought all of them to the place. And look, today is party night. We are just drinking. We are just messing around and surrounding. And just basically, tonight is just a night for business. And in the night for business, I said, look, why don't you bring some of those holy things, so-called holy things, and bring some of them and let's use them for our celebration. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Hallelujah. Very dangerous thing to do. You know, some of the symbols of Christianity, like crosses, like nuns, like priests, we shouldn't make fun of such people. Are you getting what I'm saying? We shouldn't make fun of such people. We shouldn't make fun of nuns and how they dress. We shouldn't make fun of priests and how they dress. You know, if you know a priest who has even a problem, one time someone was telling me about his priest, how often his priest was drunk. Well, you don't know why your priest has that problem, but it's up to you to keep quiet. Do you understand? You don't talk about a priest that way. That's the mistake that Noah's sons made. You know, somebody that God has chosen, when God wanted to build an ark to protect and preserve a small group of people, he chose that family. Shouldn't that make you feel that that person is special? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and that person's problem is not your problem. If he has a drinking problem, it's none of your business. I don't believe Noah learned how to drink after the episode with the ark. He probably had that problem before, if it was a problem. Do you see what I'm saying? He probably had his thing going before the ark, and you know. And you don't understand why God seems to choose someone in spite of his obvious faults and in spite of an obvious problem that he has. And you have to be careful not to despise such people. Amen. When God sets something aside and God says, I like this, don't despise it. Hallelujah. When they set something aside and say, this is for this person, you show respect to the person by the way you treat what belongs to him. Is it not true? Yeah. When I was a kid, I mean, we didn't sit where my dad sat. You know, at the table where he sat, we never sat there. We were not allowed to use, even his plates were special. Everything was special. No, it's just a plate. It's just a plate. It just becomes special because he uses it. Do you understand? It becomes sacred or special because of the person who's been attached to it. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Everybody must have things like that they respect. Amen. And you must not let arrogance and pride make you walk over those things and treat them like they're nothing and treat them. Because when you disrespect those things, you are disrespecting the person because of whom those things have been set aside. So the reason why this man was doing something seriously wrong was because the vessels were vessels dedicated to serving God. And so misusing or abusing those vessels was actually an act against God directly. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If you throw a stone at the president's car, even when he's not in it, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. You're going to get in very big trouble because you threw a stone, not just that you threw a stone at a car, but you threw a stone at a car that belongs or has been set aside by the president, even if it's your tax dollars that bought it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You have to show respect for spiritual things. Amen. And I've seen people take it sometimes even to like extremes. I mean, when people would drop a Bible, they would pick it up and kiss it. That's how I grew up. It's like a Bible. It's not that we are worshipping the book. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't believe that God requires us to kiss Bibles. God wants you to read the Bible. There's anything God wants you to do with your Bible. He wants you to read it, not kiss it. Amen. But it was a sign of respect. It shows a certain reverence in a person's heart. Do you understand the difference? Yeah. So you don't have to kiss your Bible to show that reverence. But that reverence must be there. It must be there. You have to have some respect for spiritual things. When this guy disregarded the spiritual things, you know what happened to him? He was having the party, in the middle of the party, in front of all the guests. Then a hand appeared and started to write on the wall. Wow. Yeah. A hand appeared. So if you're going, you want to disgrace me in front of these guests, let's see who is going to be disgraced. Wow. Imagine you're having a party, then suddenly some of the guests say, look, come and see something. And they invite you and you come and there you are, you see on the wall, your name is on the wall and there is a hand. You can see the hand, you can see what is being written, but you cannot see who is writing.
Wow.
Hey! Exactly. And that's what happened to him. And that same night, he died. Hallelujah. So it is a very, very dangerous thing to do, not to have respect for holy things. Say amen.
Amen.
Have respect for holy things. Have respect for communion. Have respect for praise and worship. Hallelujah. When we're having praise and worship, let's have some respect for the time. Amen. A long time ago, when I used to go to my dad's church as a kid, when it's time for them, when they are singing any song to the Lord, they would put a bar across the door and you are not allowed to enter the church. Yeah. Latecomers were not allowed to disrupt the service, you know. So they would find a convenient time to sort of, you know, slip you in. But it's like, you are coming in at this time. You're not going to come and disrupt our singing. As we are singing songs to the Lord and the Lord's name is being praised, they put a bar across the door. And you would see all the latecomers will be behind the door. And then when the song or the hymn is over, they release the bar and then a lot of people just come into the service at that time. Hallelujah. I just want us to understand some of these practices, you know, we are the way even churches are set up today, we don't have those kinds of things. But I want you to understand what is behind it. Do you understand? What is behind it? That thing that is behind it, which is a reverence for things that have to do with God, is very, very important. One time when I went to Australia, Lamech, we went to a church that had been turned into a restaurant. Yeah, they had changed the church into a restaurant, and they had kept it as it is. And even the name St. Andrew's something was still on the building. You know, so they've kept the thing there as a church, and the doors and everything is a church. And when you go in, they are serving crabs and chicken and steak and those kinds of things. You know, those are dangerous things to do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Those are dangerous things to do. That symbols of God, holiness and religion, things like that, are things you must not joke with. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
You are just a young person who has just come into life for a few years. Don't come and tamper with ancient things that have been established. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Humble yourself and God is going to bless you. Say amen.
Amen.
Now number two, you are puffed up like Belshazzar when you think that God is not important and the only things that were important are gold, silver, and wood. Isn't it? So they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Amen. They drank the wine and they praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. That's what this guy was doing with his team. Hallelujah. They were praising the wrong gods. They were praising the gods that were made out of gold, the gods that were made out of silver, the gods that were made out of brass, of iron, wood, and stone, they were praising those gods instead of praising the living God. Hallelujah. It says, you are deceived and proud when you think that the only important thing in the world is money. The way our world is set up today, people have more regard for things that bring money than anything else. There are some people who will ask, the first question they ask is, how much can I get out of this? If there's no money coming out of it, it's not worth it. We have to be careful that we don't become like Belshazzar to praise the gods of gold. The things we respect are things that have money behind them. Do you understand? Where we see a show or display of wealth, we have a lot of respect and regard for the people and those institutions. That's what makes people not have much regard for church. And in our own little Christian lives, we can have that same equivalent going on, which is that we do not respect God as much as we respect things that bring money. Sometimes if you were just to look at your attitude towards work versus your attitude towards church. I mean, when you have to storm out to go to work. Do you understand? Yeah. When you wake up and you think you're late for work or even for class. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You skip your makeup. You skip a shower. You skip so many things just to get there. But when it comes to church, it doesn't matter what time you woke up. You must have everything on. I mean, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to iron my clothes the way I want them to. I'm going to do everything the way I need it to, you know, because I need to be a certain way. Or otherwise, then I won't even go at all. Yeah, otherwise I won't even go at all. There's some people who don't come to church because of breakfast. So by the time, yes, by the time I finished eating, it was late. Yeah, somebody told me that before. She said, I didn't come because by the time I was done with breakfast, I looked at the time, you know, by now you're already preaching. So I decided to make it next week. Yeah, because as for God, anything goes. But not when it comes to work. You know, a long time ago, a friend of mine, he would, when he's late for work, he would pour the cereal into a bag and bring it to the office and use the office milk. The office milk that was meant for, you know, the coffee, he would use the milk to eat his cereal just to be able to get to work on time. Carry the bag of cereal and bring it to the office, and then you go around the back there and pour the milk and use it for his cereal. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to have respect for God's things. Can I have an amen? You need to have respect for God's things. Money is not the most important thing in the world. If you worship money, if you live to serve money, you will find out in the end that money is a real hard master to work for. Money is a real hard master. The gods of gold, the gods of silver, the gods of wood, and the gods of brass, and the gods of iron. These are dangerous gods to work for. Wicked gods. They will take everything out of you and leave you sick. Amen. So let's be careful with that. Say amen. Amen. We must have more confidence in God than we have in all these things. Some of us respect rich people. We respect people because they have a lot of money. We don't care what lifestyle they have. We don't care what values they have. We don't care what they stand for. All we care about is that they have a lot of money. You know, they seem to have achieved something. They seem to have something. You know, they have money. They have money, and that's what matters. You know, that's what matters. What's the definition of made it? Have you thought about it? When you say I've made it, what does it mean? That's a lot of money. And if made it means you have money, it means life is about money. Think about it. How could it be that our existence is about how much money you can make? That is the standard or the gauge for measuring success. And we define success by how much money a person was able to make. How much of it were you able to gather? Just imagine that if that was the goal for life, then we should have been able to take some away with us when we die. Don't you think so? But nobody has been able to take anything away with him when they died. Some cultures will try to smuggle some of those things into the grave. It only ends up creating a new profession called grave looting. Hallelujah. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. So how can it be? It looks like life is like people playing a game of chess, and you make all your positive moves and try to make all the moves you can just to see as much of the opponent's things you can gather on one side. But when the game is over, you leave everything right on the board. Yeah, you have to leave. You can't walk away. Have you seen anybody walking away with what they won? No. You can't win anything, or you can't carry any of the things you want with you. You have to leave everything back on the chessboard for a new set of people to come and start. They rearrange them and start to do them. And they are also going to start with the same rules. And you see them, when you see people, you see them deeply concentrating. Sometimes they can't even see who is standing next to them. They won't even lift up their eyes. You greet them, they won't respond. Because they are so into their moves and trying to protect themselves from the opponent and trying to gather as much as they can, as though it's all about life. Even people who matter, who will matter after the game, they still don't have time for them. And sometimes that's how it is with God. That people get so busy in this life that they forget that when this life is over, next thing is God. The next thing is heaven. The next thing is hell. And if you're so busy in life that you don't have time for God, you'll be surprised that just after life is over, you'll begin to see that something else was more important than what your salary was, what you drove, where you lived, and where you worked. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding my message today? Yes. So I want to encourage you today to be careful with the attitude you have towards money. You may not have a lot of it, but it doesn't mean it's everything. Can I have an amen? Amen. You may not have a lot of it. Sometimes when you don't have something, you have an exaggerated feeling of the thing's importance to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, its value is exaggerated a bit just because you don't have enough of it. And the proof is when you have it, suddenly becomes nothing, isn't it? When you have it, suddenly it doesn't mean anything. And we must not be deceived by the apparent value of things just because we don't have it. Hallelujah. I pray that God will help us and deliver us from this God called money. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the last one for today. Number three, Belshazzar was puffed up because he did not learn from his father's mistakes. O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Now, the story goes on and on and on, but this Nebuchadnezzar himself, last week we were talking about him, he was also a very proud person. Isn't it? So it looks like it ran in the family. Hallelujah. But his son could have learned from his mistakes. Hallelujah. Everyone in life needs two examples. You need an example of what to be. Do you understand? The good thing to be. And you need an example of the bad thing not to be. Amen. Amen. You need, so you see, sometimes you meet people who may not be such a good example of what you should be. But many of them are very great examples of what not to be. Do you see what I'm saying? So everyone indeed can be some example of some sort. An example of what to be or what not to be. Now this person did not follow his father's example. Because his father became sick. He was very proud. His father was also a very, very proud person. He started talking and saying, look, look at the city I have built. My own power and my might has built me this city. You know, and in his pride, God gave him a mental disease. God touched him and caused him to think like an animal. And he left the house and went to live in the bush, eating what animals eat. And his son grew up to see all this. His number one aim should have been, hey, I need to watch out. He should have been very careful. But he got up, having grown up in the affluence and grown up in his father's wealth and so on, and thought that, you know, who is God? Hallelujah. So instead, the Bible says he lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Hallelujah. This is Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 5 from verse 18 onwards. He said, the God in whose hand your breath is. Hallelujah. Do you really believe that your breath is in the hand of God? Many people do not believe it. Many people do not believe that their breath is actually controlled by God. That in the day God hits a button, your breath will stop. That no one owes you an existence here on earth. That you don't really have to be here. As we have lived through life, we've seen some really important people just die. Isn't it? Some otherwise very important people. Stars and people that we thought were very important. Suddenly they're gone. And since they've been gone, the world has not changed. We only remember them, but we don't miss them. Do you see what I'm saying? So no one owes you an existence. But it calls for humility. You have to remember that really God is the one who controls your breath. Hallelujah. He said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, you have not glorified him. The one who is controlling, you've met all the requirements of all the other gods. You've met all the requirements, if we were to bring it down, adapt it to your life here, you see you meet all the requirements of your job, school, everything. But the one who gives you the life to work those jobs and to do those things, his requirements you have not met. That is a dangerous way to live. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous way to live. And I pray that God will deliver us and save us from such a thing. Hallelujah. Belshazzar should have learned some lessons from the mistakes of his father Nebuchadnezzar. When sons are filled with pride, they do not learn from their fathers. They criticize them. They mock them. They turn away from them. They despise them. This is a great mistake because they failed to learn anything from their fathers. We know Belshazzar was proud because he fell from his lofty position. He was killed and became a dead body that night. He turned into worm-infested rotten flesh that night because he did not learn anything from his own father. He did not learn any lessons from what had happened to his own father. Handwriting appeared on the wall, and that was the end of this puffed-up son of Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. When you go home, you can read Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 5. And you see the whole story. The Bible says, while he was still talking, God caused worms. When the right handwriting came to the wall, then God caused worms to eat him up publicly. Can you imagine that? Maggots. Wow. They suddenly appeared and then they started to chew him up. Amen. I pray that God will fill our hearts with humility and that we will not be puffed up. Say amen.
Amen.
We will learn from the mistakes of those who are before us. Hallelujah. Learn from the mistakes of those. Don't laugh at those who are before you. Don't mock at your father. Don't mock at your mother. Don't laugh at the people who are before you, especially the mistakes they made. Amen. You should be afraid to mock your father and to laugh at his mistakes, especially when you have his genes. It means you probably have a tendency to go down the same path. You're just not grown up enough. Do you see what I'm saying? You're just not grown up enough. But when you grow enough, you see that it starts to be the same thing. Hallelujah. Well, so I believe that God will bless us as we learn from this man. Say amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close tonight. Just bow your heads with me, everybody, and just pray. I want you to pray and talk to God. First of all, ask him to forgive you. This man got his friends together and he was just laughing and mocking and making mockery of the things of God. Or just laughing at everything. You know, do not join people when they are laughing at the things of God. Don't join groups. Don't associate with groups and people who mock the things of God, who laugh at holy things, who laugh at church people, who laugh at pastors, who laugh at churches and laugh at church songs and laugh at church things. They laugh at students who go to church. Don't join such people. That's exactly what Belshazzar did. He joined himself with people and together they were mocking. What was supposed to be a party turned into a funeral that same night, because God was not pleased with them. I want you to pray and talk to God about that. Just say, Lord, please help me. Help me. Forgive me. And forgive the times when I have laughed and mocked and not respected holy things as I should have. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Help me in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray. Just pray. Open your mouth and talk to God about this. Say, Lord, please help me in the name of Jesus. Deliver me, Lord, from this evil. This evil, the evil of not taking God's things seriously. Of valuing the gods of gold and silver more than the God in whose hand your breath is. For placing work before God, for placing school before God, for placing any other thing, even family before God, All the things that God has given to us were not meant to replace Him. There is nothing that God has put in your life that was meant to replace God in your life. The Bible says He richly gives us all things to enjoy, but those things are not supposed to be a substitute for God. You can never be so rich that you don't need God. You can never be so successful that you don't need God. It is a mistake to think that God is, or success is a substitute for God. That once a person is successful, they don't need God. That God is someone you pursue in order to be successful. So once you achieve success without Him, then you really don't need Him. It's a mistake. God and success are not rivals at all. I want you to pray today and say, Lord, help me, because I realize that I need You. I realize that nothing and no one can replace You in my life, in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord, bless us today in Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I have not taken God seriously as I ought, but I want to fix that today. I want to give my life to Jesus. I realize that Jesus died for me. He died for my sins, but I have never really given God any real and proper attention as He deserves in my life. I don't want to make this man's mistake. So I need God. I want God. Just pray for me and I'll pray for you. Raise up your right hand if you're here like that and I'm going to pray with you. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to serve God today in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone here like that today? Is there anyone here like that today? Then the second group of people that need to fix something with God today are those who also realize that I am saved and I'm a Christian, but really, 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 if we look at it truthfully, Jesus is not the Lord of my life. Something else is. Other things occupy more importance in my life than God does. That often I choose other things over God. And I want to fix that with the Lord today. You just be where you are. Just pray on your own and talk to God about that. And just say, Lord, I want to fix that. I don't want anything to take your place or anything to take first place in my life. In the name of Jesus, please help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Father, we thank you for your blessing today and thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. Thank you for convicting us. We pray, like, Lord, that we will not be like Belshazzar. We pray, Father, that we will not value money and value worldly things, the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, wood, stone. We will not value them more than the God in whose hand our breath is. Help us to remember always the God from whom all blessings flow, the one who is the sustainer of our lives. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and let's thank Him for a wonderful time in His presence.